People sometimes ask me if I became the Ron Van Dam Show announcer because I love what Ron does and I love his comedy. Well, no. It's because Ron broke me out of a Tijuana prison back in 82 and smuggled me across the border in a suitcase in the trunk of a Yugo. And I still owe him for that. Muchas gracias, mi amigo. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you for stopping by.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Yes, it is. Don't argue with me. Make yourself comfortable. I will entertain you and inform you on who you are in the next 30 minutes. After that, you're on your own. Whatever happens, that was your fault. Thank you. Thank you. I assume you're giving me a standing ovation. I can't see you, but I assume that's what's going on. Am I right? No? Not at all? Okay, whatever. Whatever. Oh, yeah. I have a very interesting show for you today. Later on in the program, I have an interesting guest who's written a book. He has been a career scientist, trying to solve many of the problems that we have as far as medical is concerned, coming up with a cure for many diseases or treatments. He's devoted his life to that. Thank you very much, sir. We interview him a little bit later in the show, and he's kind of urging young people. Remember them? Remember those young people? The little ones? He's suggesting that you go into a career of being a scientist, which is like trying to solve mysteries. It does sound kind of exciting and interesting. Maybe that's a direction for your children, or if you're a younger person, maybe that is the direction that you might want to go, and we'll explore that possibility a little bit later in the program. If that doesn't get you to listen to the whole show, I don't know what will. So therefore, I don't know what will. How are you? Welcome to the show. It is the springtime. Oh my God, people are walking around as if they're happy. I know better, but as people walking around, I saw some people yesterday wearing shorts, and I thought, oh, this is an indication. I don't care what the calendar says. When I see people walking around in shorts, I know what's going on. That's what it is. It's time to expose your legs is what it were basically what we're saying. It's leg exposing weather. Except for men. I hate to say this. I mean, I am a man. I think you can tell by my voice and pictures of myself that have been splattered across social media and marketing. But I got to tell you, women's legs, very different than men's legs for many reasons. Women shave their legs, men, not so much. Of course, there are exceptions to every rule. But when I see a guy walking down the street in shorts, it's like, I know you're comfortable, but not a pretty thing. Cover those babies up. You'll do much better in life. I'm just saying. We have gotten into this, I've talked about this so many times before, I'm kind of getting bored of it myself, but it's a point that should be made. We're living too much of a casual lifestyle. I know you're more comfortable like that, but I got to tell you, you look like you're lazy and you don't care. People that dress up look like successful people, like they belong, they rule the world, they have a life that they commandeer. People that dress casually, wearing sweatpants all the time, wearing their pajamas to Walmart, which is the official uniform of a customer at Walmart, I get that. I've been to Walmart many times where I was wearing a suit because I was coming from a business thing, And when I walk into Walmart, it's like everybody's staring at me like, oh, is that the owner? Is that Sam Walmart? I know. I'm just a customer who happened to get dressed. Americans look way too lazy. Way too lazy. Is there anything wrong with being comfortable? No. But still, I mean, it's like you've given up on everything else. I just want to look comfortable. Oh, you do. Oh, you look comfortable. All right. You also look like you don't care. So I ask you this question as the spring rolls around in our great nation. What are you wearing?
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
Yeah. I'm just telling you as an outsider looking at you, it makes a real difference. When you dress like a slob, you look like a slob. You are what you dress like. You are what you eat, all that kind of stuff. If you want to look successful in life and look like a together person, then get it together. Because I hate this fact. I really do, that we're not alone on the planet. I'm not reveling in that. There are other human beings that we have to deal with on a daily basis that really put a bug up our ass. I get that, and it's absolutely true. But you got to get into the game, kids. You know, on a daily basis, you do live on a planet with other people. Sorry, but you do. I saw a young person yesterday. It was a guy, but it doesn't matter. Could have been a girl, too. Guy was walking down the street. He had his legs entirely exposed. I think he had shorts on. I hope he did. I couldn't tell. But there were his legs just sticking out and a pair of sneakers, somewhat untied, on his feet. So the bottom, from the torso down, totally naked, basically. From the torso waist up, he was wearing a hooded sweatshirt and a ski cap. Okay, that's confusing to me. It's like, you know, choose a side, choose a season. And I couldn't figure that out. Are you making a fashion statement? Like, I don't care from the waist up, and from the waist down, I'm not even getting dressed. It's just, what is that? Then, I went to a mall yesterday. I know, I admit it. It's like truth or dare. Yeah, I went to a mall. It was an indoor mall. And I'm walking in the mall, and I see this guy and girl. I think they were in their 30s. I think they were just in the mall doing some shopping, maybe having a little lunch in the food court, the court of food. And they were just walking. They weren't even hand in hand, but they were walking close to each other. I could tell they were together. He was dressed rather well. She was dressed rather well. And I stared at them because now they were the people that stood out as being the good together people, where everybody else in that mall looked like they just rolled out of bed and couldn't give a shit who was looking at them. Not that you should, but it should be some personal consideration about the way that you feel about yourself. And that's the message that's sent. And this couple looked like really together, and I thought, they're standing out as really together people on the planet. Everybody else, just window dressing with no dressing. Unfortunately, because there are other people on the planet with us, and this is proven by Facebook and other social media sources, there are a lot of people on the earth, and we're getting way too casual. And when we look too casual, we seem too casual, and we take on that attitude as well. Now, I know I sound like the Pope, except his voice is a little different than mine. The Pope knows how to dress, always wearing the finest clothes that he doesn't have to pick out. Other people do that for him. But the Pope will pontificate on things, as I do on this program. I am certainly not the Pope. I don't deal in smoke signals. I don't know that language. However, We all say what's on our mind. And I'm telling you, I'm sick of people looking too casual. To me, it's like, I don't care. So, all right, I don't care either about you. You are what you look like. You are what you eat. If you're eating Kentucky Fried Chicken all day, you're going to look like that as you lie in a hospital bed with tubes coming out of your arm. Sorry to say, you are what you eat. Okay, my guest is coming up momentarily. Perhaps you do want to become a scientist. I don't know. Maybe you can make that decision right now. I think it's fascinating. I really do. I'm a person of science. I am. I have a spiritual end to me. Not religious, but spiritual. I like people when they, you know, keep to themselves and don't bother me. I like them very much. I love people that volunteer. I think we've gotten away from that. I'm not doing it unless you pay for me. I don't do things for free. Well, you kind of should, because that's supposed to be the human condition too. And we've gotten away from that as well. We're getting away from everything. We seem to be getting away from everything. All right, enough of the pontification. My guest will be joining us momentarily, but before we do, we have a very short commercial word. What are you doing tonight, by the way? Got a place to go?
Looking to try somewhere new for dinner tonight? Come to that bar near your house with a new chef out on work release, ready to tempt your taste buds with delicious specials. Start off with deep-fried meat and cheese things, crispy on the outside and nearly warm on the inside, with a house-made dipping sauce that's almost certainly just mayonnaise and ketchup. How about a pepperoni pizza served hot and fresh out of the supermarket? Or the big quarter-pound hamburger cooked just the way you like it, as long as the way you like it is well done or inedibly raw? Order a local craft beer from a wide selection that includes IPAs. IPAs, and of course, IPAs. And when you're ready for dessert, the bartender can point you to some place that actually does that kind of thing. Ready for dinner? Head to that bar near your house. Not too far to drive, just a little too far to walk. We'll see you there.
Not a bad idea. What about after dinner? What are you going to do after that?
Looking to have a few laughs this weekend? Come to Comedy Night at that bar near your house. Hosted by that local comic who hasn't moved past open mic nights for 20 years. And featuring that guy who told everyone he was moving to Los Angeles to become a famous comic and was back in 3 months. That girl whose friends all say she's really funny. And your headliner, that guy who was nearly famous until it turned out he liked to send pictures of his penis to strangers. It's a night full of fun and laughs, and it's happening at that bar near your house. Not too far to drive, just a little too far to walk. We'll see you there.
Kendall Smith joins us now. He's a physician scientist. He's been doing this for decades and decades and decades. connected to Cornell University as a professor of medicine and all kinds of credentials to his name, and he has authored a book that is quite interesting and actually about time, because this is a kind of a memoir situation of your first 25 years as a young scientist at Dartmouth Medical School. And the subject is quite interesting and actually of interest and importance to everybody. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Ron. The book is a memoir, yeah. Which means that it's a slice of my life, mm-hmm. from when I was on the faculty at Dartmouth Medical School in Hanover, New Hampshire. And I was there for 20 plus years. And in the 1970s, we made a series of discoveries that really changed the total understanding of what immunology and the immune system and response was all about. And so I thought, you know, when the COVID pandemic came down, I realized that everybody was learning immunology on the 6 o'clock news or wherever, mm-hmm. or on the internet, and that nobody really ever knew what the immune system was all about. We didn't have any courses in school. Mm-hmm. In contrast, the Australians just teach immunology in high school. And so I thought, you know, I need to to share all the things that I know with everybody so that they understand what we're trying to do here. And so we had several eureka moments that I detail in this book, and what it felt. Basically, a eureka moment is like having a mind rush, as my one of my sons would tell me. So that's what the book is about.
Is it all about the immune system? I mean, not the book necessarily, but I mean in general, when we're talking about many diseases, including cancer, is it all about the immune system?
Well, yeah, it's the immune system is the basis of what the research was all about. Mm-hmm. But the book itself is designed to try to explain to people what being a scientist is all about. Uh-huh. And how what scientists do, how they do it, and how the whole system works in moving the whole knowledge base forward.
Let me ask you a direct question, because all the layperson knows, including myself, is that we get letters in the mail or emails to support research in a certain medical sense in order to cure one of the many diseases that need help. And we think that the money goes directly to a lab where they spend all day trying to come up with a cure. And then the layperson says, well, all this money's being poured in and I don't see any cures here. That's pretty much where people are at. Do you agree that that's where what they think is going on?
Well, no. Okay. Actually, you know, the cures are a long time coming.
Right.
And the science itself, you know, science is is probably the most creative thing a person can do, because you're trying to create new knowledge. And from zero to understanding something. Mm-hmm. And that is incremental in its process. It works over decades, essentially. And the thing is that most of the funding of science in our country is coming from the National Institutes of Health to the government. Mm-hmm. And this system that has been set up really since 1980 is a wonderful public-private sector collaboration between public funding coming from our taxes that go to people like me at Dartmouth, up in the Northeast Kingdom.
Okay.
The exactly how it what questions are answered are really dictated by the people, the scientists who are in the lab doing the work and so forth.
I'm glad that that's actually working out. I know that President Biden made it very clear with what had happened in his family that he wanted to beat and cure cancer as soon as possible and have something to do with that advancement. When I was a young child, which was quite a long time ago, I always thought, oh boy, I'm lucky to be a youth, because by the time I grow older, they're going to have all these things figured out. Well, of course, that's what a child thinks.
Yeah, right.
Kind of didn't happen. But the advancements are like awesome. I mean, it's amazing where we've ended up so far.
Yes, and you know, the reason that that's happened in our lifetimes is really because we were able, as the whole endeavor of science, we were able to get at the molecules that are really at the fundamental basis of how different systems work in the body.
Yeah.
And in immunology, you know, in 1970, when I entered the fray, as I call it, because it's really sort of it's like a war, and you have different battles that you have to fight in order to find out what's going on.
Yeah.
But in 1970, we knew what the cells were that were comprising the immune system, and what the cells are white blood cells, and there's several different kinds and so forth. But the white blood cells, we didn't have any idea how they did what they did. We could look down the microscope and look at them, And but we didn't know why they were doing what they were doing. And it turns out that they were doing what they were doing was because they were making molecules. And molecules are simply large aggregations of atoms. And so when you bind different atoms together, you get different molecules. And those molecules then are what are directing the cells to do what they do. And in immunology, what we discovered was is that there were these molecules that we made up a name for them, which we called them interleukins. Inter meaning between, and leukin meaning white blood cells, so that they really delivered messages between one cell and another cell and so forth. And the way they did that is that they work like hormones. Interleukins are the hormones of the immune system. And we discovered the very first one, and now that was around 1980, 81, 82, 83. And the now, at the 40 years later, we have 40 plus interleukin molecules that comprise the molecules that regulate the immune system and tell the body what to do, tell the cells what to do, which tells the body what to do. Mm. Just and COVID is a good example. And in that instance, we were invaded by a whole new virus that we'd never had any contact with before, so that we didn't have any immunity build up from childhood and so forth. And that was why we ended up with a pandemic that was that became worldwide.
Yes. Let me ask you something that I guess is the bottom line question, and I ask because of your expertise. If it's all about the immune system and how the cells coordinate with each other, when I go to the pharmacy, you can't call them drugstores anymore, by the way. When I go to the pharmacy, there's all these things for the immune system, and I know that's important, but it's like, how can there be so many things that, I mean, why? What's the best thing to put in your body to keep your immune system in tip-top shape is the bottom line question.
Yeah, well, your body will be in tip-top shape as long as you are healthy and eat right and so forth.
yeah.
but it, as a consequence of understanding these interleukin molecules, and that's why I named the book The Interleukin Revolution, because it was really a revolution of understanding of how the whole system works and how it's put together. That was so important because the way you treat the immune system, either enhancing it on the one hand or depressing it if you got allergy or autoimmunity or if you have a kidney transplant, for example, you want to suppress the immune system.
Oh.
And the way you do that is that we've devised particularly in the last 10 years, all kinds of new drugs, as you said, that either increase the interleukin response or decrease the interleukin response. And that has led to all, if you turn on the TV at noon and listen to the advertisements, just about every advertisement is for some kind of auto-inflammatory, autoimmune kind of disease that they've got a new drug for.
Exactly.
That they want you to buy.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful because, when I started 40 years ago, we had nothing, essentially.
True. But I don't know which ones are real and which ones aren't.
Well, yes, that's why you should read the book.
Okay, there you go. There's your bottom line right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about the book. It's been recently released?
Yeah, it came out in May of last year, actually.
Oh, last year. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so it came out in May, so we're just into this for a year now, and you can get it on Amazon, and it's priced on the low end of the most books on Amazon. So, and we have an ebook, a paperback, as well as a hard copy, and the good thing is that if you have birthday presents or whatever to give to, I would really love the book to be given to the high school kids. Because this is when you start to think about what you might want to do with your life.
Yeah.
what you might want to be when you grow up. And the thing is that we're inundated in our modern media with kids are with, you know, it's the performing artists, it's the business people, the athletes, it's politicians. But nobody knows, seems to know what scientists do. And that's, it's probably the best thing you can do for your life. I'm so fortunate that I decided to leave medicine and go into science when I was just coming up through the system, because my career has been just been absolutely unparalleled. And you know, when you discover things like we did, like I did, you become a rock star. I traveled the world. All the way around the world many times, giving lectures and so forth. It was an exhilarating career.
Wow. It is, it sounds exciting because it's like being an investigator, and you got to solve the mystery.
And
there are different roads to take, and it sounds like it's a very exciting path.
Yeah, and the key to it, and what I try to emphasize in the book, is that you have to ask your own questions. Yeah, once you become a student in science, a grad student or a postdoctoral fellow and so forth, the tendency is to sort of follow the crowd because you have an in-depth knowledge of the slice of what science is all about, and the tendency is to stay what you know. But science is always changing, and the techniques and the methods are always changing. And you have to ask your own questions. You have to be curious and say to yourself, well, that doesn't seem right, or I wonder about how that works, and so forth and so on. If you ask your own questions and you work hard, you can discover all kinds of things that nobody knows anything about.
Yeah. That's true. And you become the real rock star when you go off the path and you find something that nobody else saw.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very cool. The book is called The Interleukin Revolution. It's available everywhere. Is there some way some people can follow you with this website stuff?
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad you asked that. Yes. I have a YouTube channel, among other things. Ah. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram and so forth. But the YouTube channel, it's youtube.com/@ Kendall Smith Immunology, and there's all kinds of videos that I've placed on the internet on the internet in the last 4 or 5 years during the COVID pandemic, where I explain all kinds of things, and it's nice to be able to follow the videos along with the book, particularly if you get in the weeds and you don't quite understand what I'm talking about in the book. You can see it in the video.
Perfect. Again, it's The Interleukin Revolution. Google that and you'll find it everywhere. And it's fascinating. Kendall Smith, look for him too. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure. All right. Thank you to my guests and thank you to you. Whew. I'll be back again the next time a weekday rolls around, which isn't too far away, as we do this show Monday through Fridays, brand new episodes. Doing this for over 30 years. What the hell is wrong with me? But until next time, I wish you peace.